Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, March the 23rd, and welcome to our commentary. You know, we were going to do an interview about Mexico today, but unfortunately, we had to reschedule it. Hopefully, we can do it Friday or over the weekend, but I was looking forward to that because Mexico has been in the news quite a bit, and especially the president of Mexico, and I've got a few things to say coming up. I guess the big story for the last few days has been this indictment or talk of an indictment of President Trump in New York. And it looks to me, and not just my opinion, but the opinion of people who are pretty smart, much smarter than I am with respect to these topics. But it looks to me like the case is falling apart, that somehow, you know, from what you're hearing, the grand jury apparently is not ready to go with it. And this was such a weak case. And I think that, you know, when you look at the whole story, all of this, of course, came out on Saturday when President Trump went public and said that he was going to be arrested on Tuesday. And if you think about it, it was a brilliant move by President Trump because he got everybody talking about it. So all of a sudden, he was going to be arrested on Tuesday. And that put the pressure then on the district attorney to do something about it. And, you know, I don't think he's got the goods, frankly. That's what I think is going on. And, you know, they talk that, you know, there might be some dissent in the grand jury, but I kind of look at it this way. Let's say you're a member of the grand jury and you live in New York City. Remember, these grand jury people are people who are just thrown together by the district attorney. They're sort of thrown together and given some information. And most of the time they go along with the indictment because, you know, that's just the nature of this thing. And many of these people, of course, they're looking at the district attorney who seems to be obsessed with Donald Trump. I mean, just obsessed with getting Trump. There doesn't seem to be any, you know, any reasonable way that he'll go. He's just obsessed with Trump. And I think a lot of these people look at all of this and they say, wait a minute, this is the same district attorney who won't take care of my streets. You know, I got to walk in these streets with criminals. If you're a business owner, a small business owner in Manhattan, you're constantly having to deal with people who break in to your bodega, let's say on Monday. And then on Wednesday, the kid is out in the streets because he was put in the streets by this district attorney. So my guess is that he doesn't have a lot of credibility with the citizens there in Manhattan. And when they're sitting there in the grand jury and they're listening to him obsessed with Trump, they're saying, wait a minute, don't you have something better to do than just to sit there and try to get Trump? So I think that's part of the problem that he's having. So my money, I'm going to make you a little prediction. I don't think that anything's going to happen because I think that he's run into a situation and to a large degree, Trump set him up. I think, again, you got to give Trump the credit here. Trump went out and said, I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday. And then he put the DA in a situation where he had to produce something and he doesn't have anything. So that's what I think is this thing is dead. And I, you know, he might come out and try to do something, but I don't think this has been a good day for the district attorney of Manhattan. And that's a shame because he's hurting the country when he does things like this. He's dividing and hurting the country. We justice should not be this political. I mean, justice should be fair and simple. And he's not doing anything to enhance the integrity of the district attorney's office. So I don't think anything's going to happen. I'll just leave you with that thought. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today. You've heard a great deal more recently here from that congresswoman from Georgia talking about a divorce, meaning that the country would have a divorce. In other words, the red states, the blue states, and we would go basically in separate ways in much the same way that you could have a divorce between two people who are married, you know, who reach a point where they can no longer live in peace or, as they like to say in the legal profession, differences not reconcilable, I guess, something like that. There's a legal term for that kind of a problem. And sometimes you kind of feel that way when you look at the country, when you look at the differences that we have in the country, it sure looks to me like there's some people over here and some people over here, and we're not talking to each other. We're not getting along very well. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about a divorce, and I have a post over at the American Thinker today where I link to a very good article that I saw on the internet, where there is a lady who writes for the Washington Examiner, I believe, who says that she doesn't think it's going to be a divorce. What she thinks is going to happen is that we're going to have a separation. And in this terms, in her explanation, the separation is going to be people moving to states where they share values. In other words, if you're more traditional kind of person, you're going to move to Texas or you're going to move to Florida. And people, let's say, seeking more freedom or seeking lower taxes or maybe even going somewhere where they have school choice. That's going to be an important issue, I think, for many parents. So she doesn't see a divorce in the legal sense that we become two separate entities. But what she sees is more and more people moving to areas where they share their values. And I think that makes a lot of sense to me. And if you look at the population changes, if you look at the moving trucks, I mean, the moving trucks are going from blue to red. I mean, that's just a fact. You know, the numbers are incredible. I saw, you know, getting back to New York for a second, I saw a statistic that something like 600,000 people had left the state of New York. Now, a lot of them are going to Florida. A lot of them are going elsewhere, but they're leaving New York. The same is true with Illinois, definitely with California. People just going in the opposite direction. And I think this is an example of where we're going. I believe that over the next 20 or 25 years, you're going to see places like Texas get more and more congressional seats. We already added two in the last census. I wouldn't be surprised if we add a couple more in the next census, which would be in 2030. And California is probably going to lose seats in the Congress, and New York is going to lose seats in the Congress, and that's the way it's going to go. Florida is going to gain seats in the Congress. I think you'll see Georgia gaining seats. That's the way it's going to be. People are going to be moving in directions where they're going to be seeking those areas of the country that are more in tune with their values. So we're not going to have a divorce in the sense that we're going to become two countries, but it'll continue being the United States, but it's just going to be, you know, the distribution of the population is going to be totally different than what it is right now. So it's my post is over at the American Thinker. I also have it over at my blog if you want to check it out, also at Twitter. But I think that makes a lot of sense, that instead of divorcing legally, what we're going to do is just, you know, people will just move around and they'll go to places where they share values, whether it's taxes, whether it's freedom, school choice, or whatever it may be. So that's what I think we're going to see over the next 20 or 25 years. Well, there's a great editorial today in the Dallas Morning News about López Obrador, the president of Mexico, and the interview that we're going to be doing with the lady from Mexico, Therese Margolis, who is the editor of Pulse News Mexico, a very popular website that presents news of Mexico, as well as commentary. It's a great place to follow Mexico. And she was going to be joining us today, but unfortunately couldn't. But the topic that we were going to get into is exactly what is happening with President López Obrador. The Dallas Morning News editorial today is really hitting him very hard because he's gone nutty. He's gone nutty. I mean, he's talking about things like, for example, when the State Department came out and issued a warning about travel to Mexico, a warning that is completely legitimate given the situation in Mexico, given the violence in Mexico. It's a totally legitimate warning. I mean, they're not telling you not to go. They're just warning you that you may have some problems in Mexico. Well, anyway, he comes back and he says, that is, the president of Mexico comes back and says that this is all about politics. That these are just those terrible Republicans who want to, demonize Mexico or whatever it may be. And apparently he doesn't seem to feel that his country has a problem with these cartels. You know, he's sitting there, doing these presentations and these charts about how much more safer Mexico is than the United States. Now, everybody who's looked at his information does not accept the premises or the conclusions that he's making. But still, it seems to me here we're talking about a man who has a very big opinion of himself, very big ego. And you have to begin to wonder, you know, at what point is he compromised? Because how could he be saying some of these things? How could he be saying some of these things? And how is it helping Mexico to tolerate this kind of violence? It's not. It's not. So I don't know what's going to happen with President López Obrador, but he's turning out to be a bit of a problem for the United States. They're very much turning out to be a bit of a problem. And as soon as we get an opportunity to connect with Miss Margolis down in Mexico City, we'll get into this more because she herself has written some very interesting columns in her website about this this issue. But something's going on with Mexican President López Obrador. He's not making sense. He doesn't sound like a man who understands the threat that these cartels are to his country. You know, I've got a post coming out Friday morning. Just want to give you a heads up on this, but I got a post coming out Friday morning where I talk about a college president who has decided to make it illegal to do these drag shows, you know, these women dressed up as men or men dressed up as women, and they do these drag shows in the colleges. And so he's basically said, no, that's not going to happen in my campus. He's, you know, the president of West Texas A&M College. I'm not sure if this college is related to the famous Texas A&M. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, it has the same name, but just a different location. So I'm not sure about the relationship. But he has come down very hard of this. Now, of course, he's being accused of being homophobic and racist and sexist. You know what the story is. But I'm glad to see that there's an adult running a college. I mean, a lot of us have questioned whether many of these colleges have adults running the administration. I mean, you see these colleges where the students are, you know, stopping people from giving speeches. You know, they're graduating these people who degrees that nobody can use in life. So I'm kind of glad. I'm kind of glad that there is an adult running one of these universities and laying down the law saying, no, we're not going to do that. And I thought his reasoning was very logical. He said, look, these drag shows where these, you know, men dress up as women and put on these shows, they're very degrading to women. He's exactly right. They're very degrading to women. And I agree 100% with his point of view on that. So check out my post. That'll be out Friday morning. A couple of quick items here to leave you today. We remember today a couple of my favorite baseball players, Lee May and George Scott. Lee May and George Scott were both first base, very popular and very effective first basemen in the 1970s. Lee May was with the Cincinnati Reds and then with the Baltimore Orioles, and George Scott was with the Boston Red Sox and then later with the Milwaukee Brewers, and he went back to Boston. But they were both very good first basemen with a lot of power, a lot of home runs between them, and two of my favorite players. They both passed away a few years ago. But Lee May and George Scott, I've got a couple of articles about them in my blog if you want to check these two out. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thanks for your comments on the board, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.